John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, they read this way: "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Now, you know, typically, you know, it's Christmas time, and we have a message regarding the wise men, and or the birth of Christ, the shepherds, you know, and all those things, and all those things are true. But this year, a little bit different. If you ask a person about Christmas time, you know, just in general, at some point they'll surely mention that they've been shopping for gifts or, you know, whatever. And we have a unique situation at our house. We not only get gifts that we shop for, we get gifts for the neighbors delivered to our house because we have the same address as our neighbor around the corner. And they constantly bring us gifts that aren't ours. And then sometimes our gifts, you know, things that we've ordered, go to their house. And so, you know, we've gotten to know them a little bit, and they bring stuff over to our house. We bring stuff to their house, you know, we finish off with the mail is just seemingly after being there 30 years has seemingly never been able to figure out that Sundown Court is not the same street as Sundown Road, but the numbers are the same. But gifts are a part of the season. And we can talk about how commercialized Christmas has become. But most people, including Christians, we give gifts. Okay? And while gift giving has become associated with Jesus' birth, it's interesting to note that Jesus gave everything he had to give. He gave everything he had to give. Especially during the last few days of his earthly life, and even up into the last few minutes of his life. I mean, think about it. He didn't own much, didn't have much. And here he was, the creator of the world. He really owned the whole world. But in the life that he walked on earth, in that life, had very little. One time somebody said, "I want to follow you." And he said, "Why do you want to follow me? I don't even have a place to lay my head down. I don't even have a bed. I don't have a house." And we read, you know, where he stayed with different people's houses, you know, is where he stayed. Never had a place of his own. But at the end of his life, you know, even his clothes went to the Roman soldiers. He placed his own mother. He gave his mother away to John, the disciple. He said, "Behold," you know, he looked at his mom and he said, "Behold your son." Behold, and he told John, "Behold your mother." He committed his spirit to the Father in one of his final breaths. He gave his life on the cross that we might have salvation. We might be saved from the punishment of hell. And even his body was buried in someone else's tomb. He didn't even have his own tomb. Of course, he only needed it for 3 days. I mean, you know, he was a wise with his money, you know. He only had to borrow it for 3 days. And I'm sure most of you know all these things and have heard these things many times. But today, out of this passage, which is not typically associated with Christmas, we're going to look at two gifts, and that's why we have the title of this is Two Gifts from Christmas. I mean, from Jesus. Two Gifts from Jesus. And in 25 and 26, we see the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what a gift that is. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, yet being present with you." So, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is in the upper room. This is right before his death. Right before the crucifixion. And he's pouring out his heart to those that traveled with him and stayed with him and believed in him for those 3 years. And he's given his last words. This is his last time of teaching. His last time of being with them in an intimate setting. And he says, I've got to prepare them. And in these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, there's many great things in these chapters that he just goes on and he's talking about. Because this, he knows, it's never going to be the same. And he says, these things I've spoken unto you, being yet present with you, inferring, you know what? I'm not going to be with you physically for much longer. And he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who what? The Father sends in my name. He's talking about his own name. He's sending it. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit to come in Jesus' name. It's coming from Jesus. He's sending it. And he says, he will teach you all things. Because it's like, the disciples are going, well, if you go, who's going to teach us? How are we going to know these things? And he says, he will teach you. And he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. And I found that to be so true as you read the Word of God. I mean, I have a hard time remembering anything. It's like COVID brain, yeah. It's like, sometimes right in the middle of a message, I forget what I'm going to say. But you know what happens? The Holy Spirit, He brings things to your mind. And you get in the Word of God. And I've read the Word of God, I don't know how many times. I'm constantly reading it from cover to cover all the time. And I've done this for many, many years. And I know it's all in there. But, if you were to say, well, give me a verse on this, I'd probably have to go find a concordance and look it up. Because I just don't remember. But you know what's interesting is when I need it, I get it. I'll be talking to someone about the Lord and verses come to my mind that I hadn't thought of in a long time, or I hadn't read in a long time. When you're trying to comfort someone, verses will come to your mind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a gift that is, that we carry with us all year. All year. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus still speaks to us. And He brings us His teachings. And He brings His teachings to back to our memories, even though He's no longer with us physically. What a wonderful gift to have. The Spirit does not bring us a new gospel, but He reminds us of lessons that perhaps we have forgotten. And He teaches us for our own benefit, as well as for the benefit of others. When we interact with other people, whether it be sometimes it's within our own Christian family, we need to encourage someone. And other times it's maybe a total stranger that we are given an opportunity to minister to in some way. And He's right there with us, giving us what we need to minister in His name. What a great gift. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We didn't ask for it, but when you ask Jesus into your heart, when you pray to receive Christ, that's what you receive. Holy Spirit moves in, and He makes your spirit alive, and you begin to have fellowship with God in ways that you never thought possible. Those of you that have experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. It's something that you really can't put into words. But secondly, not only do we have the gift of peace, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of peace. In verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. How the world gives? The way the world gives is temporary. It's not eternal. He's first of all, he says, I'm giving you peace, my peace. Jesus had peace. He was beaten, had his beard ripped out, nailed to a cross and crucified, and yet in the midst of all that, he had peace. Now, I've never been treated like that. And sometimes, you know, I don't have peace, you know, because of things going on in my life. And I have to stop and wonder, man, you know, that was nothing compared to what Christ went through. Yet, I can have peace. I can be calm. I can be resting in the Father while everything is just going crazy around me. You know, I thought of that when I was reading some of the narration in the song, when it talks about He's the Prince of Peace that came into the chaos of this world. And boy, let me tell you, is this world not in chaos? I mean, there is just, it's just going nuts. But we can have peace. It's the peace of reconciliation. It's the peace that we have when we know we have love of the Father and love for one another. It's the gift of peace with God. It's the peace that's given to all disciples and followers of that time and of all the time to come. We still have that peace today. Jesus' gifts are not like the world. He says, I don't give to you like the world gives. Worldly gifts are fleeting. You know, they only concern the moment. You know, how many of you had kids and you gave them that gift and, you know, in 3 months it's destroyed, you know? And you might have spent a lot of money on it. And it's gone. Or you know, you ever walk out maybe in the toy room or out in the garage and you see some gift that you gave your kids, you know, and it's all tore up sitting in the corner and you're like, man, I spent a lot of money on that thing. And, you know, now it's just sitting there in a corner. You don't even do anything with it. Gifts, a lot of times, are given out of a sense of duty. You know, probably most of us felt that. You ever have that last-minute gift someone got you and you didn't expect them to give you anything? Wow, I got to get it. Now you feel a sense of duty. Well, they got me something, so I got to get something for them. You know, it wasn't something that came from within you. It came out of a sense of duty, and it had no sense of permanent blessing. In fact, a lot of times worldly gift giving is shallow and usually has a self-serving motive. You ever get that Christmas card from your insurance agent? You really think he cares if you're having a Merry Christmas? I mean, really? You know, I'm sure, you know, my insurance agent, I'm sure, you know, while he's having Christmas, he thinks of me. You know, when he's with his family, I'm sure my name comes across his mind all the time, you know. You know, you get that card, you know, in the mail, and you're like, okay, yeah, right, computer generated, you know. It might have his real signature in there, but, you know, he probably signed 5,000 of them, you know. And he didn't even put them in the envelope. You know, one of his staff did, you know, that kind of thing. But Jesus' gifts aren't like that. They're eternal. And He gave everything in order for us to receive them. He gives His gift with some instructions as to how they are to be used. You know, He says, I give you these gifts. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. I guarantee you in this room today and people watching online, there's some people that are troubled in their heart. It could be health issues, could be money issues. It could be that the political scene has got you troubled as to what the future holds. You know, what's it going to mean to the church in general, to us as individuals, to this church in particular? I mean, those are things that I'm sure has crossed most of our minds at some point. It can be troubling, but Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And you know, that's what we do. We let it be troubled. You know, if you're sitting there watching the news, and I don't care what channel it's on, and you're watching that same old junk every single day, yeah, you probably are going to be troubled. There's no good news on there. You know, they bombard you with 5 hours of news, and they might have one feel-good story in the middle of that, you know, where somebody helps somebody or something like that. But the rest of it's just gloom and doom. And you know what? When you subject yourself to that, you are letting yourself be troubled. Because it gets real easy to focus on that stuff. And then we come in here on Sunday morning and we've had a week of being bombarded. And then I go, good morning. And you're all like, good morning. Yeah, there's troubling things out there, but we should not be troubled. This time of year or any time of year. Because Jesus' gift is eternal life. It's eternal. It doesn't go away. It just sustains all the time. It sustains us in this life and it will sustain us in the next. Let your hearts not be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Do not be afraid. You know, I forget how many times I read it, but, you know, like I said earlier, I forget. But it is a bunch of times in the Bible, God or Jesus or an angel from God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And you know why he tells us so many times? It's because we get afraid so many times. You know, things happen and, oh man, I'm afraid of this certain person or that certain thing gets done or, you know, what? I'm afraid of this certain situation or if I get that phone call, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what that will mean. And he says, neither let your heart be afraid. You know, that word let not your heart be troubled. Neither let your heart be afraid. That infers we have some responsibility in the matter because what we do is we let those things come over us. We let that happen. And I'll tell you how we let it happen. It's very simple. We have our mind on it. We just keep focusing on it. Oh, what's going to happen now? What's this going to be? Oh, no, they just passed a new law. What's that going to mean? You know, and we're just focus. And you know what? Oh, I'm afraid of what's going to happen next. How far can it go? Well, it can't get any worse. And someone will say, well, don't say that because it will. You know, that's how we encourage one another. I mean, come on, folks. We let it happen. We have to think the other way. The battleground is in the mind, folks. Satan and God battling for your well-being. Satan wants to bring you down. He wants you to focus on stuff that are, you know, honestly, all the stuff that's going on in this nation, this world, do you understand it's temporary? It's not going to be forever. No matter how bad it might get, or even how good it might get, it's not forever. It's going to come to an end. We've read the book. It ends. The old earth and the old heaven pass away, and there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. And there's not going to be any sin in it. And Satan's going to be bound. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire. It's going to be done with him. And that's the thing that's going to be forever. Eternal life with God in a good place with no pain and no tears. Man, we should be the most joyful people on earth all the time, no matter what's going on. You know what it wrote, what the author of Hebrews wrote? He said, for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus, he endured the cross and despise the shame. For the joy that was set before him. He was able to look beyond the cross to the joy that it would bring. Because you know what the cross brought to him was death and pain. But it brought to us life. And he was able to look beyond what was happening to him in that moment. And was joyful, thinking about you and you and you and you and you and you and me and David and whoever that has named the name of Jesus because of what he did. The joy of knowing all those people are going to have life forever. What a gift. And that's what Jesus gave to you and to me. And it holds all the time. This time of year, middle of the year, it doesn't matter. When things are going great in your home and when things are just totally in an uproar and upside down and you don't know where your next relief is going to come from, He's there. And there should be joy because He's there, because of what He has done, because of what He has given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gift of peace that we can have no matter what. You know, no matter what they do to us. I mean, you know, you read Revelation, it gets kind of ugly in there. But no matter what they do, they can't take that from us unless we let them. And so I challenge you today, don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anyone or anything steal your peace. The joy that we sing about at Christmas time, we should sing all the time. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sin that we may have the free gift of salvation. We should praise Him every day for that gift. That gift really pays off when we face the Lord. Because you know what? Every one of us is going to stand before God at one time. And if your name's in the book of life, it'll be a good time. But if your name is not, it's going to be a terrible time. But Jesus gave us not only the gift of life, the gift of salvation, He gave us that, you know, that's for the future. You know, we don't cash that in until we die. But for now, yes, we have eternal life now, but we're still in this sinful world. We're still in these bodies that lean towards sin. We still have those issues within us. But we have these gifts, these two gifts that He gave us for now. Because we are in this life, because we do have a sin nature, we need the Holy Spirit, we need peace, because we do tend to fear, we do tend to be afraid, and we do tend to be troubled. And so He gave us those things so that in this life we can have the joy that we'll have in the next. What wonderful gifts indeed they are. Thank you, Jesus, for those gifts. There may be someone here today. Have you received the most important gift that's ever been given? And that is the gift of eternal life. That is the gift of relationship with the living God. When we were born into sin. We were born apart from that relationship. We were born enemies of God. And it wasn't very long in our young lives before we began proving that we were sinful people, even as a child. We lied. We were selfish. We threw tantrums when we didn't get our way. We proved it very young that we needed a Savior. And as we've gotten older, hopefully you have realized you have a need for a Savior. You have a need for forgiveness. And that is why we rejoice at Christmas time, because God's plan to redeem the world started. It went into action. He had the plan from the beginning, but it went into action that Christmas, what we call Christmas morning, about 2,000 years ago. The plan went into effect. All the preparations were done. The time was set. The stage was set for Christ to come on the scene. And He did. And He fulfilled what God had intended for Him to do, the Father for Him to do. And He came and paid the price for your sin and my sin, sin of the world, that we could be saved from our sin, from the penalty of our sin, which is hell, forever, burning in hell. And it does not have to be for any person. What a glorious God we serve. That He would do that for us. Messed up as we are, He still loves us and wants to do it. He wants to save us. The offer is there. If there's anyone here or anybody watching that you've never accepted this free gift that was given by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, I pray that you would do so today. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. For the rest of us, are you troubled? Even though, yeah, you know you're saved, you know you have the Lord, but are you troubled? Have you been focusing on the bad stuff that's going on rather than on the good stuff? His Word and the things that are contained in there, the promises that are in there. There may be some here that are troubled. There may be some here that are afraid because of whatever's going on in your life. You don't have to let it be. You can be confident and sure of what Jesus Christ has done in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your adversity, and have peace in the midst of it all and not be afraid. I hope you will do that. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to have an invitation. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I just want to lift my hand up. I need prayer. I recognize my need, and I would like some prayer. If there's anybody like that, slip your hand up. I'd like to pray for you. And for the rest of us, how many would say, I have to admit, my heart's been troubled on some things, and maybe I have some fears going on inside, and I'd like prayer about that. I've been unsettled. And I need some prayer. Anybody like that? Just, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I lift up your children, Lord. I lift up people, good people, people that love you and serve you. And Lord, but we've kind of got our focus on things that are going on around us, and we're letting that rob us of the joy that you've given us, Lord. We don't have peace, some of us. Some of us are troubled. Some of us are afraid. Father God, show yourself in a very real way. Show yourself in a very strong way in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions, Lord. That we would just have that quiet confidence and hope in you. This world is not our rock. You are, Lord, and we thank you for that. I pray for these that are experiencing these emotions, Lord, and I pray that you would indeed give them the peace that passes all understanding. You would indeed comfort them and calm their fears. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is your time. As the piano plays, if God has pricked your heart on some issue, now's the time for you to just go to Him. He's waiting for you. Father, Lord, we come before you a grateful people, Lord. You have done everything on our behalf, and we praise you and thank you for it. Lord God, help us to focus on what Jesus did Focus on the gifts He gave us, the gifts of peace, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we could walk in this life in the midst of trouble and tribulation, Lord, adversity and pain and even suffering, Lord, that we could walk in the midst of that with peace and joy that only You can give. And Father, let others see it and let them be drawn to it, that we may have a chance to share Jesus Christ with them. Father, thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.